Welcome back to the Critical Moves podcast. This is episode 49, and today we're going to be talking all about the future of the Total War franchise. I'm joined by Timothy.
Hey everyone, how you doing?
And making a rare appearance after a long hiatus, it's Joseph.
Hey everybody.
Proper fan favorite. Looking as gorgeous as ever. Are you well?
I'm doing quite well, yeah. Had a busy time. Slow for a little bit now, slower. Happy to be back.
Well, it's good to have you back, and you as well, Tim. Remember, you're always my favourite, won't you? So tonight I wanted to come together to talk about the future of the Total War series, where we think it's going to go. You'll be aware that Creative Assembly have said that in December they're going to make an announcement. I covered this in a Critical News episode. There's a link on the screen if you watch this on YouTube. The future of Total War. In December, they're making an announcement of what games they're going to produce. Let's have a conversation about what we think of Total War in general. We covered this in episode 4, so a long time ago. You were on this one, weren't you, Tim?
Yeah, I remember we talked a lot about where we would like the series to go.
And have your views changed since then?
Not 100%, but I thought a lot about what mechanics I would like to see in future Total War games, especially considering which potential Total War games we could have. And I think that would be crucial, whether it's historic or a fantasy game, to have a good link with new mechanics.
Okay, what did you have in mind?
Well, something we talked about last time was something like Star Wars. And we've seen with the Warhammer games that they introduced tons and tons of mechanics to fit that universe. And I think that worked really, really well. And that was really well done. And you have something like heroes and magic and so on, something you could never do in the historical ones. Well, if you do something with Star Wars, I imagine not only a return of, you know, like hero mechanics, obviously, but also, well, for one, you'd have quote-unquote naval warfare, but, you know, with starships instead. But also something with dark side, light side kind of mechanics, with Jedi powers, or something that really fits the Star Wars universe, obviously.
My issue with, and I wanted to talk about this at the end, but since you brought it up, let's run with it. My issue with the Star Wars Total War is that if you look at any Total War, there is always a vast number of factions involved. Star Wars is typically light side, dark side, Empire, Rebels, Republic, Separatists. So do you have the scope within Star Wars to make a Total War game which is going to have enough variety? What do you think, Joe?
I hadn't thought of that, but I agree. I mean, they're so similar too. I mean, their ship designs are a little different, but it's not like they're really using different weapons from what I would gather. That would be a problem, is how similar they are. It would basically be the only major differences are Jedi, right? So
even then, Jedi and Sith are just, you know, opposite sides of the same coin, aren't they?
Yeah. They have a few abilities, but in a Total War game, I don't know if that would be enough. That would be like different magic schools in Warhammer 3. Not really enough to make a whole faction over.
Tim, do you have any ideas how you'd improve that?
Well, there are some other factions, right? There's like the Trade Federation, there's like the Huts, there's different kinds of sub-factions within the Sith, and so on. Depending also on what timeline they're thinking of, there's like a very wide variety between different times within the Star Wars universe. But yeah, no, I definitely would want to see new mechanics as well with that, like a tug of war between two major factions. But even when it comes to, let's say, more historical titles, I would also, for example, what's another one that they were talking about? World War One. That would require massive different mechanics as well, right?
It would. And I guess one thing that we need to really consider, one thing that I spoke to Nuno about recently, can Total War move on as a series without significant investment in a new engine?
Maybe not. And maybe that's a good thing.
Maybe it's time.
Well, I think they've been using the same engine for a long time, haven't they? Certainly since the first Warhammer, I'd imagine, and maybe even before. So I think that, and especially what Tim talks about mechanics-wise, so if you're talking about naval combat or space combat, as it would be if it was a Star Wars game, you're going to need a completely new engine, I'd imagine, in order to render that, if you were to try and do it in any kind of semblance of 3D.
Even the campaign map, I figure, would need an overhaul. The issue is that they've been able to get by as is for now, and I think they could, if they want their purely economical short-term gain, they could release another, I don't know, medieval Total War or Empire Total War or something, and it would probably be the economical thing to do. Just how much of an improvement are they really going to bring for people to stay interested?
Surely they made enough money that they could invest a little bit. Between all the Warhammer games, they've done pretty well. They should be able to try, especially when we're doing Medieval 3, Empire 2. Those are pretty much slam dunks, wouldn't we say? Those are going to sell. It's a risk, but it's not even that much of a risk. Go ahead and make some investment. You're going to make some money. It's not like it's going to fail.
Well, then the shareholder asks, why invest in if they're slam dunks anyway, right?
But are they slam dunks? I mean, this is, if you look at their historical titles, this was the crux of my argument on that fairly divisive news video. The historical Total War games have not done anywhere near as well as what the fantasy titles have. And that reflects in their decision on where to take them. If you look at DLC-wise, the Warhammer ones, Warhammer 3 said, I think, about 28 paid DLCs. And there's another one launching very soon, Warhammer 2. At over 30 of them. You compare that to Pharaoh, which I think got two, maybe Three Kingdoms got seven. Financially, if they were to work purely on a financial basis, the direction they should be going is into the fantasy side of things. But this is very, very divisive for the Total War community, because a lot of the diehards, they grew up on historical Total War. For me, I started with Medieval. I mean, what was that? 2002, something like that. So it's a long, long time ago. And it would appear that with their recent game design and game release decisions and DLC strategies, that historical games are being cast aside. They're being left at the side of the road whilst fantasy marches on.
Yeah, could you imagine if they tried to push the DLC system and they came out with, say, 8 factions in Medieval, and then they tried to come out with 25 DLC Medieval factions for Medieval 3? It'd be wild.
I suppose it would, and I suppose it would be difficult as well, because if you're making a historical Total War, and I kind of do get this side of the argument, if you're making a historical Total War, you are limited by what existed in history. If you're making a fantasy Total War, you are not limited by that, and you can actually make as many as, in the case of the Warhammer games, as many as there are armies or races or lords in Warhammer.
And you can make some up.
Well, yeah. You know, I mean, it's not beyond the realms of possibility for Games Workshop to sanction new factions. I mean, if you look at Dawn of War, the Blood Ravens chapter, which is in Dawn of War, that's now canon in the Warhammer 40K universe, and it was made specifically for Dawn of War.
Yeah, exactly. We can't just make up a campaign for Medieval 3 that didn't exist. I mean, they could, but then we're going away from historical. Paradox did a little bit of that with Aztec Invasion. Sunset Invasion, that's what it was called.
I mean, you could even, and you go towards like Camelot stories and stuff like that, but I personally would really dislike that.
Yeah, me too.
Well, with the Total War Saga Troy game, Creative Assembly did lean into mythology a little bit there,
and I don't think it worked well.
And why do you think that is?
So, the cool thing about Warhammer Total War is that you've maybe read so much about this universe, or you played the those games from a different perspective and so on. And then you get to really feel this universe, and you get to walk around in that universe per se and conquer it. And I think that gives a really cool aspect that brings this universe you've spent so much time with in the past, if you're playing, you know, the tabletop games to life. And that's really, really, really fancy. If you play a historical one, you feel like you're reenacting like empires of the past and trying to make alternate history, or you're recreating something real, whether it's fantasy real or from the past. And then I think that that's a big strength of the Total War series. And with something like Troy or Camelot, it does neither.
Yeah, it's too in between.
I mean, Troy didn't introduce mythological creatures. You know, it wasn't, there was no centaurs or minotaurs traipsing around, but they did introduce elite human warriors styled after those myths. So I guess they found a way to lean on the Greek mythology without becoming a fantasy title. But it was a saga game, you know. I mean, it wasn't a full game release, I guess.
But would you want to play a medieval game with heroes?
As in fictional heroes. I mean, you know, I think the purpose or one of the enjoyments of playing medieval Total War is to see your family line, and, you know, to see how your king or how your generals behave on the battlefield. So I think there's room for heroes, but I think it needs to be from a role-playing perspective rather than a here is Arthur or here is Lancelot.
Yeah.
I actually had an idea for this. One of the things I did in prep was I came up with some ideas for how to make the interesting. So can I just jump into one of my ideas for Medieval 2 or Medieval 3 then?
Yeah, man, go on.
Okay, so I was thinking one of the DLCs they could do is a character creator where you could create a character that you would want to see in the game. And you could either force it to your faction or let it join any faction. And you could choose the character's background. You could do like a custom insignia for them. You could choose what type of role they filled, like spy, general, whatever, right? And then you would have a chance of this character being born or something like that. So if you were like, I want this character to be born as a noble somewhere, that could be one of the options. And then that is something that could happen in the game then. I think that would be very interesting to me. I don't know if they've done that. I don't think they have.
I don't think they have. And I think you have to be careful that it doesn't become immersion breaking, I suppose, don't you, as well? I mean, I appreciate that Total War isn't realistic, but it has its roots in history. It has its roots in realism. So you don't want a...
You remember you win a battle, a big battle, and a general. You raise up a man as a general. It would be something like that. Or you recruit a spy, and your spy is the character that you built. And of course, thinking about your immersion stuff, I was thinking you have so many points you could assign their skills, right? So you're not like, oh, I hired up a 16-year-old who's perfect. No, it's just somebody that you created that goes into their pool and they pull him that character or they don't. I just think that would be interesting to me, because I would love it if I'm playing as Scotland. I always played as Scotland. I'm playing as Scotland, and then I see that I didn't force the character I created to be born into my place, and I see that he was born somewhere else, or she. And I would be really interested to follow that character in the game.
Well, you've mentioned Medieval 3 there, so let's dig into the meat of the episode, what we wanted to talk about, which is the future of this series. Because, as we said, in December they're going to announce games, and they've said very clearly games, plural. So we're expecting at least two. You know, it'd be nice if there was three, but we're expecting at least two. So let's not put too much pressure on Creative Assembly by saying we want four. or three. So we're expecting two games. But before we look at what we think might be announced in December, let's look at the ones that we can rule out. So they cancelled, they were developing Three Kingdoms 2, and that got cancelled. And there was also rumors that they were developing a Great War, like a World War One game. And that also got cancelled. If development ever started, that was cancelled as well. You've mentioned, I think Tim brought up Star Wars. Do you think that's a likely game that we'll see announced in December?
Well, it's not Warhammer 4. We can rule that out as well. Yeah, it's probably not Rome.
Why not?
Because, I mean, I think they already did so much Rome and Rome adjacent. I think they have a lot of other places to go before going back to Rome.
Okay. Has it been two or three?
Well, there was Rome 1, there was a Barbarian Invasion, there was Rome, there was Attila.
Attila was kind of like Rome 3.
Which were great. I think, by the way, Attila and Barbarian Invasion were both amazing because they flipped the game upside down. And I thought that was very, very well done. Like, there's very few games where you're playing and you're losing and you're having fun while losing. And that was Attila.
But I think Rome was clearly one of the most popular historical titles, which is why they did the remaster. You know, they didn't remaster Medieval 2, they remastered Rome, and they're very similar games, aren't they, in terms of engine and presentation. So there's clearly an audience for Rome, if you think, you know, Attila's very adjacent. Barbarian Invasion was like a standalone expansion, wasn't it, for Rome. So there's clearly a market for that, and if you think we are talking about a company which wants to earn money, so would this safe? Well, unfortunately, you know, this is not beyond our reason. You know, where it's a community produced and sponsored product, this is a business. So
I'll just randomly insert the word Stellaris in there to make the episode complete.
Thank you very much. The circle is now complete. So. Rome 3, which I think what it would be, wasn't really on my radar as what I would expect. But to rule it out, I mean, I don't know whether you could rule it out, because I think it's a very, very popular part of the franchise, as you can see by the amount of games that they've produced.
Well, which one's been more recent, Rome 2 or Medieval 2?
Rome 2 is more recent.
It's much more recent, yeah.
Yeah, so you had Shogun and Medieval were the first two games, and then you had Rome and Medieval 2 that came out at not the same time, but very, very close to each other.
Yeah.
And then Rome 2 was after that. So, but Tim wants to rule out Rome 3. We'll rule out Rome 3.
What do we think of 40K?
Yeah, I mean, I think that we've ruled out the ones that we think we're not going to see. You know, Three Kingdoms 2, it's not going to be in there either because they cancelled that one. And the World War 1's not going to be in there because they cancelled that one. I expect to see Warhammer 40K.
It would make sense to have one historical and one fantasy, right?
It would. And they did say in their announcement that they have something for both. I can't remember the exact words, but they did say that they will appeal to historical gamers as well. So we can expect one fantasy and one historical. And I think that Warhammer 40K is a really good shout as something which we can expect to see. It's one that I would like to see as well. So maybe there's some confirmation bias in there.
How far out do you think it would be?
What do you mean?
Like, do you think they would announce it and it's 3 years from now? Two?
I don't know. I mean, they already have an established working relationship with Games Workshop.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have, as everybody or most people who have any kind of idea of what Warhammer is will know, that Warhammer 40K was like an offshoot of Warhammer Fantasy Battle. So you've got the Empire, you've got Chaos, you've got the Elves, the Eldar, you've got the Orcs. The dwarves are the League of Votan now. The Dark Elves are the Dark Eldar. You've got very obvious parallels. An existing working relationship, a very, very popular three-part series set in the Warhammer universe. So this would be a very obvious next step.
Yeah, you could grab Henry Cavill, have him help you out. Huge fan base, right? 40K is much bigger than fantasy.
It is. It's huge. And I can understand why they did fantasy, because it was a perfect move for them to make, because you've got the same kind of units as you have in many historical titles. You've got archers, you've got spearmen, you've got cavalry, you've got all of those base game elements that you saw in all of the historical titles, which moved very easily with just a reskin into Warhammer. It was a very obvious move for them, and I think that Warhammer 40K Total War, or Total War Warhammer 40K, whichever way around they want to do it, would be the next logical evolution for the fantasy side of Total War to take. You have a vast number of factions. You've got heroes. It would be very DLC heavy. If you think for Chaos, you could have four different Chaos gods. So you've got such a breadth of content. It just makes sense.
Yeah, for sure. And then if you think about it, it could kind of prop up their history, all those DLCs. Yeah. Maybe their history ones don't have to be so DLC focused.
I think it's a shame, really, that we're in a situation where we are talking about having a fantasy game propping up historical Total War.
40K would sell so much higher than any of these medieval or empires, in my opinion. I could be wrong, but I just think I'm excited to see those remakes, but or sequels, but a new fantasy one, I just think would do better.
How about Lord of the Rings? Would that not be massive, both in how well it would be received if done well, and how much fun that would be? I mean, we've all spent so much time like watching the movies and reading the books and being in that universe, and then being able to see and control these empires. And I think there's a lot of fun mechanics to go there as well, right? With like corruption of the rings, with like trying to get the ring to Mount Doom, and some diplomacy as well with trying to get certain tribes on your side or not. Lots and lots of factions as well. And
there's some very popular mods as well, isn't there, for the historical titles, which have made Lord of the Rings into viable mods, viable game modes. So the only thing I would say about that is that scale-wise, I mean, Warhammer Fantasy, so the original Warhammer Total War, if you think it's probably quite lore adjacent in terms of the scale, but I think that if you go to Lord of the Rings, the way that the battles are described, you're talking about significantly larger battles.
That's a good point.
And would this be a situation where the engine needs either an upgrade or to be replaced completely? And is this why they cancelled the Great War Game? And is this why they cancelled Three Kingdoms 2? Is this why we've not seen anything other than these DLCs for Warhammer 3 recently? There's not been very many titles at all. Is this because they've decided to put all of their focus on making a new engine? Are we going to see a new engine? Because I think it's necessary to see the franchise move forward.
Sooner or later, yeah, I agree.
Yeah. And I think that if you were to do justice to a Lord of the Rings game, to a Lord of the Rings Total War game, because of the scale and the cinematic awesomeness which is described in the books and as we saw on the screens, I don't think that the current engine is going to be up to the job, up to the task.
I think it's likely they cancelled World War One because it was a boring game when they were playtesting it.
Why would you think it would be boring? I mean, there's probably going to be, maybe, maybe there wouldn't be much in the way of faction diversity, would there?
Nor in terms of battle gameplay. Like, it's not like you're not trying to outflank the enemy in like large maneuvers. You're not moving units around. There's like two lines with units staring at each other, and then you can click a button to tell them to go overboard and run into the dead man's land.
Yeah, there's no hammer and anvil.
There was tanks, there was aircraft, there was artillery, there was poison gas.
I do think earlier times are better fitted for a total war, for the way that they portray battles. I just don't think something modern would work at all.
I agree that the Great War, World War One, wouldn't really work in terms of be able to generate exciting battle sequences. But I disagree that modern wouldn't work.
Well, if you go to World War II and so on, you also need like things like cover. You need like tons and tons of new mechanics, which again, I would be super excited for. It would just be such a different game than what they have now. And it would 100% need a completely new engine as well.
So we think it would need a new engine for Lord of the Rings. We think it would need a new engine for Warhammer 40K. And we think it would need a new engine for World War II as well. So maybe they're going to surprise us with a new engine. Otherwise, is it just going to be a reskin of what we've seen so far with some minor changes? Is that going to be enough for the Total War community?
I don't think so.
So, Joe, what do you think we're going to see in December? You can, you know, not what you want, but what do you think we're going to see announced?
I wouldn't have said 40K, but now that you're talking about it, that seems like such a natural move for them to just move from one Creative Workshop to the next. And so, or Games Workshop, excuse me, to the next. So I would say for sure 40K. And then I am so torn whether I think it'll be Medieval 3 or Empire 2. I don't know how well Empire, the first one, sold. You know, how many people are clamoring for that? It feels so unique that maybe they should go back to it, give us some ship battles again. But I don't know.
Yeah, I think Empire was a great idea, but it needed a lot more polish. And I think Napoleon provided that polish. But then the setting, while the setting of Napoleon was incredibly interesting, it was not very replayable. Mm-hmm. And so I think Empire is a better setting for replayability, but then they needed a practice of Empire to make a better Napoleon game, but then returning back to Empire would make a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, so maybe I'll go with that. Empire, this is actually what I want. I know you said what I think.
No, I want to know what you think. I want your prediction. This is not a wish list. I want your prediction.
Okay.
Given your vast knowledge.
Prediction is 40K Medieval 3. That's my prediction. What I want is Lord of the Rings and Empire 2.
Yeah, I'm 100% with you there.
So, Tim.
Yeah, exact same. Exact same.
Exact same.
Yeah.
As in what you expect and what you would like to see.
That Joe read my mind there. And I'm a bit scared for Medieval 3. Like, if it's just the same game all over again, like Rome, but in medieval skin and nothing added to it, I'm not sure I would buy that.
I mean, this is going to sound like we've conspired, really. And we haven't, you know, we haven't. Okay, before we start recording, let's decide which games we think and which ones.
I haven't. You know, for the people, I haven't talked to Tim in 6 weeks or something.
You haven't talked to me in 6 weeks other than earlier today, but that's beside the point. We didn't talk about this. I agree. I think that we can expect to see a fantasy game, and I think it will be Warhammer 40K, and I think it's going to require a new engine to do that because of the how heavily space combat is going to be on that. It's not, you know, because if they just say, oh, you land your troops on this planet and then everything becomes planet-based, or if they just focused on just one planet, like Dark Crusade campaign in Dawn of War, which is set on Cronus, so it's just one planet. I mean, in that and in Soulstorm, so looking at Dawn of War, you had 7, 8, 9 factions all fighting on one planet. If you look at Gladius as well,
I was going to say Gladius.
The 4X game, you know, you've got all these different factions all fighting on the same planet. And they were, it worked for a small scale RTS, and it worked for quite a bare bones 4X game in Gladius. But I don't think that the Total War community would accept that. I think that it always has just been so large, you know, such a huge scale. I don't think they would accept it being based upon one planet. I think we need to see a galactic setting. So I think that and of course they did naval warfare in Empire and in Napoleon. I think that it's essential to see space combat in a Total War 40K game. Otherwise, I think it's going to fail. I don't think that people would accept just a based upon one planet.
It's a huge endeavor, though, no? Like the galactic scale, that's huge.
It's massive. It's massive. Yeah. But as much as it's fantasy, you know, like the Warhammer games are based on the reality of the tabletop game in terms of the world map and all that kind of stuff, which was in there. It was based upon the reality of that fantasy world, and I don't think that they could pull off 40K Warhammer 40K Total War without having a fully galactic experience. I don't think the community would go for it.
Just remember how long it took them to make the Warhammer map, right? Like they started off really small, like a small section, and like tons of expansions, and then they're now in the third installment of the same game to be able to fully encompass the actual map of Warhammer. So that's clearly been their strategy, and I wouldn't see why that would change. So they would have to make at least only a small subsection of the galactic map.
Well, I suppose it's different, isn't it? Because you don't have very many geographical issues when it comes to making a space map. It's a black background with some little points of light. So
then each planet is its own thing, right?
Yeah, and then how would the planetary battles work out? Is it going to be a case of you have just, you know, you land your troops and then you one battle and then you control the planet, or is it going to be a case of you go onto that planet and therefore and then it becomes a mid-tier situation? Wow. So you have your galactic map and then you have your planetary map, and then you could be managing many, many different planets, and then you have your battles, your tactical battles, which occur in different sectors of that of the planet to capture regions of it. So I think that the scale that you're talking about, if they were to do it properly, is enormous. It is galactic.
I don't see them doing that, though. I mean, that sounds like a great game. That sounds interesting for sure. But the middle one seems like the one that they wouldn't do, right? It seems like they would do just take the fantasy battles map and make it in space. And instead of fighting a land battle over a settlement, you fight a land battle over a settlement, right? And then you win it if you win it. That feels like what they're going to do if they do this. But I like your idea of the mid-tier thing where you then build out a planet and maybe fight over different areas of the planet. I'm skeptical that they're going to go that far. That would be amazing, though.
So given that you, the conversation we've just had here about what we think would be required for a 40K Total War game, does that change predictions?
Mm-mm.
You still think they're going to do it?
Well, to be fair, one nice thing about 4K or Star Wars, if they go Star Wars, is like naval battles have always been very unpopular. And not just in Total War, but in other strategy games where you had naval warfare. Like if we think of Age of Empires or Command and Conquer or whatever, naval warfare has always been people prefer to play a map without water, so they don't have to worry about those different tiers and so on. In other games such as like Star Wars Empire at War or something like that, the quote-unquote naval warfare is the main attraction. And seeing big ships shooting at each other is like incredibly satisfying to a lot of people. And then the land warfare becomes a little bit of a dull moment. Maybe 40K doesn't have that problem as much because the land battles are pretty significant. But usually I have noticed that people prefer one or the other and have difficulty with going full in on both because it becomes kind of like two games going on at once.
Warhammer 40K Total War would be aimed at Warhammer 40K players. And they would not accept it's a very beardy, salty community, and I don't think they would accept anything other than sorry guys, but it's true. And I don't think that they would, I certainly wouldn't be willing to accept a Warhammer 40K Total War game that was based upon one planet, because I think it really, and I appreciate in Soulstorm, in Dark Crusade as part of the Dawn of War franchise, that you had all these different factions on one planet, and they kind of managed to get some justification as to why they're there. In order to do that in a Total War game, which prides itself on being true to the source material, be that a fantasy environment or be that history, I think that they have to be true to the reality of the situation. And I don't think that the community would accept anything other than being able to fight over the entire galaxy. So you have the Imperium of Man, you have the different Eldar craft worlds, you know, you've got Chaos, you've got all these different factions. You've got the Tyranids coming in from the eastern fringe of the galaxy. I think that for it to be successful, they would have to cover everything that is covered in 40K. You couldn't just make it planetary based. I think it would fall on its ass if they did that. It would be a shadow of what they could do if that's all they did.
But the tabletop games are only land-based.
Not all of them. You have Battlefleet Gothic, you know, there's a space-based.
The tabletop games, like the figurine ones, the physical games, they're only land-based. There's no spaceships there.
There is. The Battlefleet Gothic started as a tabletop game.
Oh, okay. My apologies then. Well, don't listen to this guy. He doesn't know anything.
Yeah, so space battles already exist in the tabletop setting. You know, you have Battlefleet Gothic, which is a tabletop. They had Man of War, which was the Warhammer Fantasy version of naval combat. In the fantasy universe, they had a tabletop version of that. So you've got Battlefleet Gothic, which is the tabletop version of space combat, and then you've got Epic. I think it might be called Titanicus now or something like that, which is where you've got all of your titans and huge war machines, and then you've got your base 40K as the most popular one, which is, as you say, purely land-based with a few flyers supporting. But yeah, the majority of it is land-based. But I think that law-wise, in order to be law accurate, you need to cover galactic warfare.
That makes me think that they're going to, like, hearing you describe how the land battles are the most important or the most popular part of 40K makes me think that I wouldn't be surprised if everything but that wasn't too intricate.
Yeah, I agree.
Unfortunately.
Not what I would want, but what I would predict, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I really enjoyed the naval aspects of Empire.
Me too.
It wasn't very well received because I think that it was quite simplistic. You know, that there's no terrain features. You know, Battlefleet Gothic Armada got around that by putting space stations and nebula and asteroids and all these kind of things to make it, you know, to give you things that you had to interact with on the map. Empire just gave you the flat sea. You know, there was no island. You weren't fighting over island chains or anything like that. And I think that lessened the impact of the naval side. Really, it was a case of whoever had the biggest ships was going to win. There wasn't a lot of strategy needed or tactics required to be successful for naval battles. Just line up your ships. If you've got the most and the biggest, you're going to win. And they would need to do something so that doesn't become the case for space battles, because I think it's so important to the lore. It's so important to the mechanics. You need to get your troops from planet to planet. You can't, you know, there's no, within the Eldar webway, there's no magic tunnels to move your troops from one to the other.
In Total War Warhammer, there's the sea and there's ships, but like there's no naval warfare, and you can go from one island to another island with the ships, and they just magic wave that away.
Well, they did that in medieval, and in I think in medieval there was just like certain land bridges, so between England and France, there was little land, so you could just move across. But naval warfare wasn't a part of that. But if you want to capture the scale, the epicness of 40K, you need to have multiple planets that you can fight over.
I agree with you. I think that's true. I don't think they will do that. Like if I were a betting man and I would have to bet on one or the other, I would bet that they don't do space battles.
So what do you think they're going to do?
Yeah, you go from planet to planet. Invasion triggers, okay, and you have a land battle, or one planet, yeah, one or the other.
What if they did a mini game, like some little mini game every time ships met, and that's how it was decided? Don't ask me what that mini game was, but that'd be terrible.
Well, they did that in Rome, didn't they? Not really a mini game. It was just a case of you moved your ships into range, and you click fight, and it was just a bit of RNG to decide who won. I think that would be far too simplistic. So it's interesting that if we do see Warhammer 40K, and all three of us have said that we expect to see Warhammer 40K as the next, or as one of the games that were announced in December. And of course, we have nothing to go on but pure bullshit speculation. So this is, don't take our word for it, guys. You know what I mean? Be interesting to see how they did that, because I would be upset if it was based on one planet. Like, I would be upset.
what historical game do you reckon they'll release or announce, rather?
Medieval 1 was one of the first games. Medieval 2 was very popular. And I think Medieval 3 is the next obvious successor. I think that Shogun's too small scale. I mean, Shogun 2, I think, is probably the best historical strategy game that we've seen. And it worked because it was small scale and every province mattered, you know. But I think that in order to refresh, I think they need something which has more scale. And I think medieval would be the ideal one there. Or even medieval into Renaissance or something like that, you know. It's
Let's remember that Medieval 2 came before the big changes that they made with Rome 2. Like Rome 2 had very big differences in how it handled army movements, city management, and so on, area of control, different stances that armies had, and Medieval 2 came before that. So, like, there is a lot to upgrade there. I'm just scared that they're just going to do an easy upgrade and call it a day.
Yeah, and I think it's right to feel some trepidation about how they handle it, because I think there is the potential that it will be mismanaged. But I don't think that they can afford to mismanage it, because I think that and I don't want to think of it as a divide and us and them situation between fantasy fans and between historical Total War fans, but I think that if they don't do an excellent job with their historical title, I think that they're going to piss off a large amount of their community. I think Medieval 3. So what would be your blue sky? What would you love to see, Joe?
Probably Lord of the Rings, now that we talked about it. I used to love this game called Battle for Middle Earth. And it had to watch the Rohirrim run through the orcs on that game was something majestic. And I'd love to see a modern engine do something like that again. And that mod that came out for Medieval 2, maybe it was, great game, so much fun. Let's do it again.
Imagine this. You have Lord of the Rings, Total War, and you have all these different factions, and they're all vying for control and so on. And then you also have a player that can play the Fellowship. And they don't manage cities, they don't manage huge armies or something like that, but they just manage like the small Fellowship and have to try to make their journey all the way to Mount Doom somehow.
Yeah, and everything else is happening around you.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Medieval 2 is happening around you, and you're the Fellowship trying to get through it.
I don't think they would do that, but that would be fire.
Be a great DLC. Great DLC.
As in just with like small skirmishes and things like that.
Or, I mean, you could try to avoid it somehow. I don't know how, but that could be a mechanic where you're trying to avoid those armies.
Avoid detection and the Nazgul. Or even cooler, you play as the Nazgul and you have to find a Fellowship.
Yeah.
Maybe you should pitch that game idea and see whether somebody would pick it up, Dim, because I think that... Hobbit hunters or something like that, you know.
Hobbit hunters, wow.
Hobbit hunters, yeah.
That's an amazing title.
It's got real potential. Copyright, let's lock that in. We want a finder's fee for anybody who decides to make that game. We want a finder's fee.
Be honest, you thought of that name years ago and have been waiting for somebody to give you the chance to say it. Because that's actually amazing. Yeah. Hobbit hunters.
I did. I thought of it many years ago, and I was like, I think what I'll do is I'll start a podcast on strategy games, and then when we get to about episode 49, I'll be able to drop in Hobbit Hunters. Everything's been leading up to this point, so we can quit now.
You're a planner. You're a planner.
Yeah. So Tim, you've said the same, didn't you? You would like to see Lord of the Rings, and did you say what historical title you would like to see?
Yeah, I mean, I agreed with Empire. I think that's a good fit. You said something about Renaissance. That could be really nice as well. Although you get into like very colonial areas and that could upset some people, and Total Wars probably prefers to avoid that. They prefer like murdering like millions of orcs rather than talking about a difficult topic like colonization, but yeah.
Well, I suppose that's covered in Empire, isn't it?
You don't really establish colonies in Empire, do you?
Yeah, there's three different theaters of war. You've got the New World, so you've got Central America and North America, and you fight the Native Americans. I think the very first campaign. Actually, there was the Warpath DLC, which was the fight against the Native Americans by the 13 colonies, the original United States, and then the conquest of the Indian subcontinent. So yeah, there was colonialism in there.
No, you're right. It's a long time ago. Times have changed though. Like you need a bit more nuance nowadays with these things.
Yeah, I mean, Total War's never been politically correct, has it? You know, it's always been fairly grounded in reality. You know, slavery, murder.
That's true. No, I retract what I said. They do have slavery in the games as well. So I'm again, fake news today. Just
did they keep slavery in the Rome Remastered? Because it was a major part of the original Rome, where you took over a settlement and you can either exterminate, enslave, or just settle. Did they keep it in, or did they bow to the pressure of the woke brigade and say that you can't enslave people anymore?
They do. They have slavery in the remastered.
Still in the remastered. All right. So for me, I want to see Warhammer 40K Total War, because I love Warhammer 40K. I know Joe does as well, and I love Total War as well, so I think the combining them both would just be a title that I would just be really excited about. So I want to see it, but I want to see it done properly, as we've just been discussing, and I shan't repeat myself. And Empire 2, that's what I want to see. I think it'll be Medieval 3, but I want to see Empire Total War is one of my favorites. And I think it's because of the scale. You've got the New World, you've got the Indian subcontinent, as well as all of Europe. You've got all of those machinations going on, you know, the trade routes and the trade theaters and the naval combat. I thought it was excellent. So that's one that I would like to see. So we are in agreement, other than Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, and I want to see a possible emerging pirate faction in Empire 2.
Did you know there's a mod for Empire where you can play as the pirates?
Mm-mm.
Oh, that sounds cool.
I'll send it to you.
I want to see it in the game.
I'll send it to you, and I'll link it in the description of this as well if I can find it. Guys, we are fresh out of time, unfortunately, so we're going to call it a day. Thank you very much, Joseph, Timothy, for coming and talking to me about this.
Good stuff.
What a pleasure.
As always. So people listening, what do you think is going to be the next Total War games? We have to wait till December to find out, but let us know in the comments, or come and join our Discord and tell us what you think we can expect to see, or what you would love to see in the future of Total War. If you go to criticalmovespodcast.com, that's our main website, and you'll find all of the ways to get in touch, as well as a link to the Discord, to the forum, and links to all of our episodes with extensive show notes, so you can see what crap we've talked about in the past. So pay a visit, criticalmovespodcast.com, and thanks very much for listening. I'm not sure what next week's episode will be. It's all a bit up in the air. But people are returning from the summer holidays, so I'm sure we'll be able to work something out. Thanks for listening. Take it easy. Goodbye.